Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hi from Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports, medicine, fitness, and wellness. Brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Lower Extremity Review, LER, and MVP Parent Magazines, UK Health Radio. Quick shout out, my old medical school colleague, Paul Scheitel. The 23rd of September is the Step Out Walk to Stop Diabetes in various cities. Keep and pay attention. We've got a great doubleheader today, Katie Blanchard. She is a doctor of physical therapy, sports, and the Scroth Method of Scoliosis Specialist. She's joining me along with Dr. Robert Kornfeld. He's a podiatrist, functional medicine specialist for chronic foot ankle pain. Then the sports doctor's in with some Bob Guider wisdom and your emails. Katie Blanchard, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you so much, Dr. Bob, for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Katie, give us some background on yourself and leading to your specialty in the whole world of scoliosis treatment.
Sure thing. So I started out as a physical therapist focused on sports rehab. I have a little bit of a background with sports, playing basketball in college at Dominican University in River Forest. So that started out as my focus as a PT, you know, sports medicine, ACL tears, you know, foot and ankle, hips, all of it. And now that I'm, you know, 5 years into my career as a PT, I've shifted my focus. And now my specialty is treating kids and adolescents with scoliosis with something called the Schroth Method.
And give us some details again on number one, you know, scoliosis. How common do you find the condition, and how helpful is physical therapy and strengthening? We've always seen that very, very important, proper shoes, proper support. Tell us a little bit about this, the Schroth Method with scoliosis.
Yeah, so scoliosis is actually a lot more common than you would think, especially in kids and adolescents. It's something that usually kids aren't born with, but it starts to develop when they, you know, hit the age between 10 and 15 years old. And it's called idiopathic scoliosis, which means that we don't know the cause of it. We don't know the root cause of it. Although there may be sometimes a family history of scoliosis in the family, but usually there's around 100,000 kids in the U.S. are diagnosed with scoliosis each year. So it's a lot more common than you'd think. And there's a conservative method to treating it, which is called the Schroth Method. And it's a technique in the physical therapy profession that when coupled with bracing and things like orthotics, like you said, it tends to be very effective when we can find scoliosis early in kids before it gets to be too progressive.
Do you find that, for example, either a very flat-footed child or a child with very, very high arches, do you find any consistency with some of those foot imbalances with the commonality of scoliosis?
Yeah, definitely. In a lot of my patients that I see with scoliosis, you know, we analyze them full body. You know, just because I'm a specialist in scoliosis doesn't mean that I only look at the back and the spine. So we look at everything along the whole chain. So looking at the feet, you know, the foot and the ankle, we tend to see in kids with scoliosis something called foot pronation, which means for our listeners that the foot likes to kind of collapse inward, and that the arch isn't as supportive as we would like it to be. And if you think about if the foot rolls inwards and kind of collapses inwards, that causes effects going all the way up the chain to the knee, the hip, and even to the spine. So, you know, foot pronation and, you know, having a good supportive foot can definitely help.
Yes. Now, of course, pronation is a normal motion. When it's excessive, pronation allows us to absorb shock. It allows our feet to shape to the ground when we're walking. Once we bear weight, ideally, pronation shifts to a term called supination, where the foot lines up to push us off, almost like a spring mechanism. Scoliosis itself, Katie, how often is it symptomatic with actual back complaints and concerns?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so most of the time for kids and teens, it is asymptomatic. And that's why it often goes untreated or unnoticed in kids and adolescents, that population. Or, you know, people live with it their whole life, and then all of a sudden they're in adulthood, and they start to have back pain. And then they realize, oh, my gosh, I may have had scoliosis my whole life without knowing it. So in kids, the population that I treat most, it is usually pain-free. You know, they're functioning kids who play sports, do activities, and are living great lives. And it's just something that is a little hiccup in the road that we want to, you know, nip in the bud and make sure that we can treat early on so it doesn't get worse.
And of course, you're looking to strengthen everything surrounding all those areas and the lower extremities, and working a lot of balance. So the Scroff method, as I've seen some examples that I was taking a look at what you were talking about, you're really, again, talking about the importance of strengthening all of these supportive systems involving strengthening, stretching, and other methods, aren't you?
Yes, correct. And actually, one of the most important aspects of treating scoliosis method is actually a breathing technique. And because kids' spines are still pretty flexible, they're still growing, their spine is not rigid like an adult spine would be, we use a breathing technique to help open up the concave side of the spine, which is the side that it tends to be a little bit more collapsed on the back with scoliosis. And that's because scoliosis is a 3D condition. It's not just a side bending of the spine, which is, you know, a myth. Most people just think, oh, the spine with scoliosis, it's either S-shaped or C-shaped. So it goes to the right or to the left.
There's a rotational component big time, isn't there? We're going to ask you more about that. Everybody listening to The Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, you can go to radio shows. You go back years, international guests, national guests, local guests, a myriad of topics in sports medicine, fitness and wellness. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you'll read a lot of excitement with MVP Parent Magazine, Lower Extremity Review, and subjects that run the gamut from concussions to what's the best shoe to one of my still most popular articles, which is Women in High Heels, Accepting the Challenge. So you can check that out. We're talking with Katie Blanchard. She's a doctor of physical therapy specializing in the dealing with scoliosis. I find that a very interesting fact that I wasn't aware that, you know, this condition develops as a child grows. It's not necessarily something that somebody is born with. And the idea, Katie, that you can get improvement and some type of lessening of the development of scoliosis the earlier you catch this, how early are you looking at these kids?
Yeah, so I see the youngest I've seen in the clinic is around 6 years old, and that's, you know, you're really lucky if you can catch scoliosis early on at 6 years old. And then, you know, I see kids, teenagers up until they're 18, 19, 20 years old, but we're usually catching it, you know, between the prime growing years, anywhere between 10, 11, and 13, 14 years old.
You know, is pediatrics paying enough attention to screening? You know, I have my own complaints about whether or not they're doing enough screening with foot mechanics and balance and stability. But it seems that many of these go unnoticed because there aren't necessarily symptoms. So I would imagine that the education side and the screening side is a big part of what you do.
Yes, for sure. I try to go out into our community here and do scoliosis screenings, you know, during, you know, community fairs or at schools, that sort of thing. But the good thing is we're seeing a better job being done by pediatricians with yearly screenings, you know, the yearly checkup that kids are going to their primary doctors for. You know, they're starting to do what is called the forward bend test, and they're paying more attention to it and looking for the signs of scoliosis. But another good thing is, you know, I think parents are becoming more aware of how their child looks. So, you know, the end of summer is coming and you feel maybe taking your kid out to the pool, you know, they're walking around in a bathing suit, shirt off. You know, that's the time where as a parent, you can look at your child's spine and you can see, you know, does it look like maybe one of their shoulders is a little bit higher than the other? Does it look like they have, you know, maybe a little bit of muscle bulk on one side compared to the other? Or do they just have, you know, posture that doesn't look ideal? And that may be, you know, a flag just to bring them into your pediatrician or into your local physical therapist where they can look a little bit deeper into screening for scoliosis.
What's the best website for people to find out about information of you and the Schroth method?
Sure thing. My company is called Schroth Bot. That's S-C-H-R-O-T-H, Bot. And so my website is schrothbot.com. And you can also find me on both Facebook and Instagram, as well as YouTube, where I provide a lot of free information and exercise tutorials.
Where do you find, like, the chiropractic profession with all of their spinal expertise, soft tissue massage? How does that fit in, for instance, as well as what we were always concerned about, which, you know, with scoliosis, the contest was always, what about leg length? What about any kind of lifts, for example? What's your experience as whether, along with physical therapy, for example, chiropractic care might be helpful?
For sure. For chiropractic care, you know, there can be a big stream of, you know, variation in chiropractic. And for scoliosis, what you want to focus on is more working on the soft tissue with massage or stretching, that sort of thing, not necessarily manipulation. Because when we look at the spine of scoliosis, it already has some rotation in the spine. And what we do when, you know, you go to a chiropractor and you have a manipulation done is you're inducing more rotation in the spine. So we want to avoid manipulation, but we advocate for soft tissue work, massage, anything that might help with balancing of the musculature.
Is it necessary, like you're talking about clinically, being able to take a look, whether it's at, you know, shoulder height or whether the spine looks, or that maybe it's curvature or something, that boy or girl's posture. And then, of course, x-ray becomes necessary, right?
Yes, correct. So scoliosis is diagnosed first and foremost with an x-ray. And once an x-ray is done, anything with the curve being greater than 10 degrees is considered a positive diagnosis of scoliosis. Anything less than 10 degrees is not considered scoliosis per se.
Of course, one of your major objectives, and it makes so much sense, is to prevent the necessity of surgery, right? To try to make
Correct.
A difference early. And again, when you've seen, you know, some improvement in staying out of trouble, that's got to be a great goal.
Yes, for sure. The whole goal of the Schroth method in physical therapy for scoliosis is to, A, stop the progression of the curvature. Because when kids are in their prime growing years, they have more risk of scoliosis getting worse and worse. And so if we can just stop it from getting worse, then we're going to help prevent spinal fusion surgeries in the future. So that is the first goal, first and foremost, to stop the progression. And secondarily, if we can get a little bit of correction in the meantime, that is an even bigger win.
And the idea, again, of being able to, how often or how long a treatment regimen, I would imagine this is ongoing therapy, almost like an athlete would be following the necessity. It's not like we have treatment and we're done. This is something that would be progressive as far as while that child is maybe going through puberty and developing.
Correct, yes. So, you know, as they're growing and developing, the treatment is going to change a little bit as their body changes as well. But in general, I usually see my patients from 8 to 12 weeks, usually twice a week, to really teach them the custom and specific exercises for their specific spine. And then once they learn the exercises, I want them to be independent, you know? And I want their parents to be supportive in them and being independent in doing their home exercises.
So you're giving them, you're giving them a really powerful home program in order to progress. I knew the time would fly by with you. Give me that website again, Katie, before we run out of time.
Yes. So the website is schrockboss.com, schrockboss.com.
Okay, Katie Blanchard, doctor of physical therapy and specialist in the world of scoliosis. Thanks so much, Katie. Hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, and we want to welcome Dr. Robert Kornfeld. He is also a podiatrist, and he's a functional medicine specialist for chronic foot and ankle pain. Dr. Robert Kornfeld, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you, Robert.
Give us some background on yourself leading to this whole attention to the world of functional medicine and podiatry.
I graduated and went into practice around 1982, and at that time, I was fully traditional in everything I did. My obvious training program was, you know, reconstructive foot and ankle surgery. When I started to incorporate all the principles into my practice, I saw that, you know, in practice, you had to deal with lots of complications and things that didn't work out the way you wanted them to. So I started looking into how to optimize healing. At the same time, I came down with a pretty difficult medical condition that traditional medicine wasn't helping me with. So both of those drove me into looking at things that might affect healing more naturally, might work with nature, and that's kind of how the whole thing started. It was a holistic doctor that healed me, where traditional docs had failed for about almost 2 years. And once I started incorporating holistic principles into the practice, I found that my outcomes were far better than what I ever expected. So that was around 1987, and I never looked back.
You know, what's interesting is for decades, we have featured on the Sports Doctor Eastern and Western medicine, all sorts of holistic medicine. Before general medicine, I think, knew how to spell the word, you know?
Right.
The new word, of course, of functional medicine, you know, the idea, and it's interesting because podiatry was always about the foot and the effect of the foot on all other areas of the body, and the fact that there was, you know, cause and the consequences. So it seems that the idea, again, of getting to the cause, the functional medicine, I know traditional medicine is, you know, they're still fighting this in some different ways, but it's really caught on in a lot of ways, hasn't it?
Well, I think it's only natural that it did, because what traditional medicine teaches us is how to make a diagnosis and then how to address the symptoms. What we really don't spend any time learning is, why did the patient cross the morbidity threshold in the first place? So, you know, we're taught a lot about biomechanics, and it's an integral and very important part of what we do, but we can't blame biomechanics on everything, because if we say this was caused by a gastroc, soleus, Aquinas, or a subtalar varus, then of course that would mean that every single person that has that biomechanical issue should have symptoms, and we know that's not the truth. So we look obviously at the reasons why the body stopped repairing and started protecting with the chronic inflammatory pathway, and to understand that, obviously, we've got to take a look at what's burdening the immune system, what's making it less efficient. And when we start to look at epigenetics, which is a big thing in functional medicine, we get a lot of our answers. And then from that, we can do certain lab tests to see where the burdens lie. And then we correct those burdens, those underlying mechanisms.
How would you define epigenetics? In English,
basically, diet, lifestyle, and environmental influences on your genes and on your health.
Right. Yes. You know, it's interesting. An example like obesity. I've been talking about childhood obesity on the Sports Doctor for decades, give or take a few weeks. And sometimes, again, the effect that has, the scourge of diabetes, you know, that we're dealing with, and those consequences. Podiatry has always been in the middle of some of that. So there's always been that tendency, again, to look at, you know, the patient's general condition, of course, but then the ability to get much more specific, like you're talking about, in some of these important areas, again, whether it's diet and lifestyle, the world of nutrition, activity, those kinds of things, exercise levels, et cetera. And how have you found... Dr. Kornfeld, the response of general medicine as far as podiatry delving into functional medicine like you're talking about for you know, gosh, decades?
Well, you know, I've been doing it for 36 years, and I've been to God knows how many hundreds of seminars, and I've always been the only podiatrist. So every time I go, these doctors say to me, where are the rest of the podiatrists? What's going on with your profession? And, you know, I never had an answer, because I tried to bring it to the profession. I started a teaching institute about 25 years ago. Nobody wanted to take part in it. I began lecturing at certain seminars and conventions around the country, and then all of a sudden the invites stopped. No one was really interested, and I just kind of let it go. But I've always had great receptivity from the MDs and DOs, especially those that understand what I'm doing and those that practice that way themselves. So I've had tremendous support from you know, the medical community in what I do. And it's always been a wonderful way for me to, you know, work with other doctors and get fully involved in the health landscape of my patients.
Now, of course, in the sports medicine side of things, again, we have so much emphasis on the sports doctor in the world of youth sports, again, the role of the foot, et cetera. And again, looking at functional medicine side, which has also paid big attention, and I'm very glad that we've been part of that, to the whole mind-body connection. You know, there's been so much emphasis on the role of mental health and its role, and that fits in, again, with the functional medicine big time, doesn't it?
Absolutely, because if you think about what's going on in our modern times, the whole world is under stress. And as you know, we have a primitive survival mechanism that's based on stress hormones and neurotransmitters. And if someone's under chronic stress and their endogenous cortisol levels start to rise, it works exactly like a prescription of cortisone. It suppresses immune activity. Now you have a patient that's injured, you want them to heal, but their stress hormones are so high that the immune system is held at bay. It's inefficient. It changes thyroid function, so basal metabolic activity slows down. And on top of that, we're throwing anti-inflammatories at them, which basically do nothing to foster healing. They just make the patients feel better. So I think of it this way. It's a domino effect. You have one domino set in front of, you know, hundreds of them. That first domino falls, that's the underlying mechanism. All the other dominoes are symptoms. And if we only try to pick up the ones that fell, but we do nothing about keeping that first one upright, we're going to be chasing a speeding train. So functional medicine provides answers about underlying cause that we can manage as doctors, and it's all about educating our patients and helping them move forward to a healthier understanding of living on this planet, and we get fantastic outcomes. And I will say, in sports medicine, the last thing you want is a patient who's injured, who can't fully repair, and is a sitting duck for more injuries down the road. So I do avoid medications that hide symptoms and give the patient a false sense of security. I won't use cortisone in connective tissue, especially with an athlete, because, you know, using something fibrolytic doesn't make sense to me. So once we have underlying mechanisms well understood and the biomechanics corrected, we can use regenerative medicines that fortify connective tissue and help make them stronger, and we don't have to worry about the side effects of our drugs.
What's the best website, Dr. Robert Kornfeld, that people could find out about you and your work?
Well, I have a teaching institute that I started, which is called the Institute for Functional Podiatric Medicine, and the website is just that. InstituteForFunctionalPodiatricMedicine.com.
Okay. You know, it's interesting. You fit right in with something we talk about a lot here. When I talk about that every other commercial, if it's not about a diet, it's about a drug. And the tremendous, we all are aware of the nightmare with prescription painkillers and opioids, except the, with overuse. I want to talk to you more about that. I want to talk to you more about that new medicine, which is eat smarter, keep moving, and reduce stress. We're talking with Dr. Robert Kornfeld, podiatrist and specialist in the world of functional medicine. We'll be right back. Everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his three decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, one of sports doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual, evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. Hey, everybody, we are back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil. I'm talking with fellow podiatrist, Dr. Bob Kornfeld. Dr. Bob, I wanted to ask you more again about the functional medicine and what we talk about a lot on the Sports Doctor, which is, again, the new medicine. You know, eat smarter, paying attention to nutrition, keep moving, reducing stress. Do you find that fits into your paradigms?
100%. There's no question, you know, the human body functions best when it resonates with nature. If you're filling your body with refined carbohydrates and food coloring and additives and flavorings and pesticides and God knows what else they're throwing in there, you're going to put your body under stress. And whether most of your listeners know this or not, simple sugar mimics what happens when cortisol is released, which is the stress, fight, flight, and fright response. So you eat simple sugar, your brain thinks you're in danger, and it elevates your stress hormones, which directly suppress immune activity. Doesn't make much sense. You have to be well hydrated. You have to eat high-quality food. You have to eat the right amount of food at the right time. If you're in training, you have to know when to eat your carbs.
Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the...
Should I continue?
Yes, it's live live radio, which has always got some fun action. You were talking again about, integrating so many of these systems.
And obviously, when you go into these deeper layers of stress, your body will not sleep because then the predator can sneak up on you and consume you. If you don't go into the deep levels of replenishing sleep, your body can't find homeostasis and everything is out of whack. So stress management, sleep, healthy quality foods, good hydration, stress management. All of this is critically important in keeping our patients healthy and well, and just as important in getting them to heal from pathology, whether it's injury or repetitive stress or degenerative in nature. All of it, you know, has to be dealt with pretty much the same way. You've got to make your patient healthier before you can heal them.
And, of course, once we add the physical and mental stress, we have a segment on the show, we call it the mental game, that whole mental side of everything, whether it's someone trying to stick with their program that they've started or to making some changes in habits, et cetera, that might be healthier. And with, of course, the pandemic over these past few years, it's amazing, Dr. Bob, that the no matter where my guests are from internationally, no matter what their vocation, they talk about mental health and this tremendous challenge that this has been put on top of us and the idea of trying to get, you know, organizations like school systems and park districts to pay much more attention to the functional side of things, to the wellness side of things. And it's a, well, like I said, it's a contest that you've been on for over 30 years.
Right, right. Absolutely. You know, everything that we are taught should be revolving around how to become the best person we can be and how to be the healthiest person we can be. And that educational process seems to have died out. Most people, when, especially with my patient population, because they're all in chronic pain, they're kind of difficult patients, when I start laying out the things they need to do, if someone says to me, well, I will try, my answer is always the same. Trying is not going to get you where you need to be. Trying leaves failure as an option. You have to do this, meaning put on your big boy pants or your big girl pants, start acting like an adult, take responsibility. What you've done to this point has not gotten you the results you wanted, so now you've got to do something different. Is it hard?
Well, in podiatry, do you tell them to put on their big boy shoes at the same time?
right?
Absolutely. Yeah, because, you know, people have an aversion to doing things that are difficult. And that has to be conditioned out of our society. Because a lot of things are hard. It's not that easy. Things that we want to accomplish, we have to put in the effort. And we have to be consistent. It doesn't happen when we try. Because if it feels too hard, all right, at least I tried. Well, that doesn't help you. You have to just do it. So there's a lot of coaching in what I do with my patients as well. I have to build them up. I have to give them positive feedback for what they're doing. And we see changes as we go when we redo our lab tests and we can see, hey, look, you're getting better. Keep it up. This is what we want. This is what we are looking to accomplish here. And when
plus
we
it's
have
not physically, a, yes. You know, what we talk a lot about in my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, we talk a lot about, I talk about the two essential exercises for kids, regardless of their sport or level, and adults. And number one is strengthen your feet and ankles, routinely included. And number two is work balance. One of our biggest challenges in seniors and super seniors is the prevention of falls and to work on balance. And the idea, you don't need a sprained ankle to strengthen your feet and ankles. It should be routinely done. And I'm sure in the holistic side that you probably stress that also.
Most definitely. And unfortunately, what's missing in our society is parents bringing in their children for a podiatric evaluation, just the same way they bring them to the dentist to have their teeth checked. That doesn't happen as often as it should. It probably doesn't happen nearly anywhere as often as it should.
Well, especially when parents, they learn from one of your articles, of course, you know, right. So much of foot mechanics are inherited. Gee, the kid's flat-footed just like his mother. Gee, she's got bunions and grandma's got bunions. So many people still need to be educated. The role of many foot imbalances are inherited. And if we can catch them early, we can prevent problems by interceding, whether it's the proper shoe selection or what we consider to be a key role, which is the role of proper orthotics when it comes to alignment, balance, and stability.
Of course. And I know I'm preaching to the choir with you. But how many times have we put patients in an appropriate orthotic and their knee pain, their hip pain, and their back pain also went away? You know, it's critically important. Biomechanics.
We try to include the song, Dr. Bob, you know, the foot bones connected to the ankle bone.
Connected to the...
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Half the girls I've seen over the decades, over half in figure skating, in volleyball, in tennis, in soccer, half are knee problems. And I'm
right.
a sports podiatrist. So exactly what you said is such a key point that so many, as a matter of fact, we tell parents any persistent lower extremity concern is almost always foot related. And that's missed many times if the feet themselves don't hurt. Isn't that true?
Right. Absolutely. 100%. Most definitely. Not everybody that has a biomechanical problem in the foot is going to come in with foot pain. I've had people sent to me by their orthopedist or their physiatrists saying, you know, go get your feet checked out because there's something weird and I can't seem to get your back better. And of course, you know, many times we will find biomechanical deficits, and once corrected, you know, the chronic low back pain or the chronic knee or hip pain will eventually resolve.
At the very least, it's helpful in that respect, along with, you know, the strengthening and the therapy that might be necessary. In that situation. So have you found that the school systems, again, when you're working with individuals with chronic pain, they have children, they're in different in school sports, that paying more attention to these kinds of topics makes so much sense, that cooperation, I've got my fingers crossed while I'm asking you, is improving?
I can't say that that's been my experience. I wish it was, but I would honestly say that 85% of my chronic pain patients are adults and 15% are teenagers. I very rarely have pediatric evaluations in my practice because I call it the chronic foot pain center, and I guess people feel like if they're not in chronic foot pain, why would they come to a doctor like me? And I kind of understand it, but I'm servicing a segment of the population most of them have been to 5, 10, 15 doctors. They've been in pain for 2, 5, 10, sometimes 20 years. So, you know, that's been my focus. But yes, everybody needs to know and understand that every body part is critical. It's not just getting your teeth checked and, you know, taking your child to the pediatrician once a year. There's a lot more to physical health and physical prowess that a lot of the parents just don't know about until, of course.
How do you find the role of, how do you find the role of regenerative medicine, non-drug-related regenerative medicine, how it fits into your world?
It's a big part of my protocols because once I have all of the immune burdens controlled and I know the body is now in a better place to repair itself, the regenerative medicines are what foster connective tissue healing. They fortify
tissue. I'm
going to
remember that term, the immune burgers. I knew the time would fly. Give us the site of people can go to learn about your teaching program.
It's the Institute for Functional Podiatric Medicine.com.
The Institute of Functional Podiatric Medicine.
Institute for Functional Podiatric Medicine.
Got it. Dr. Robert Kornfeld, thank you so much. What an informative couple of segments. Hold on, Bob. Be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor.
Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody, we are back in blistering Illinois. It's 100 degrees. It is the Sports Doctors Inn segment where we preview some upcoming guests, add a little Bob Guida wisdom, answer a few emails. Great shows coming up. One of my frequent guests, primary care physician, sports medicine physician, Dr. Tony Liazzo, joins me next week. He's worked with all sorts of different teams in different sports. We always look forward to his participation. And then we've got Satyen Raja, who is a transformational leader and coach, and he blends in the whole mental game, ancient wisdom, modern psychology, some fascinating topics. Following week, the superstar of infomercials, Forbes Riley. Forbes, who has sold, I think, almost $3 billion worth of products, going back to the Vegematic with the famous Jack LaLanne. She introduced her piece of exercise equipment, the Spin Gym, on the Sports Doctor. I don't know how many years ago that was. We're looking forward to Forbes joining us. And then one of the famous people in the world of public relations, who celebrated his 50th year, Bruce Mehren. The first sports people he represented were Jackie Robinson and Muhammad Ali. He's coming back to join us. He's involving with my public relations. So some great guests coming up. You know, Bob Guida used what was called the oscillating balance beam. It looked like a gymnastics balance beam, but it had rounded off edges. It sat on the floor, and it challenged any athlete or rehab individual, whether it was the John McEnroes and the Jimmy Connors in tennis, whether it was Jim McMahon in football, Walter Payton, the Olympic volleyball team. Walking and balancing on the balance beam, sometimes holding on to weights, sometimes having on a helmet, to create imbalance and strengthen all the support systems, which really, really helped make the late Bob Guida famous. Still today, there are individuals using that oscillating balance beam in order to be able to take a look at the alignment, how that foot and knee lined up, the knee and hip, a tremendous piece of equipment, very challenging, also lots of fun. I still have some great slides of some of these athletes trying not to fall off the oscillating balance beam. Got a few emails. Taylor says, my 12-year-old daughter is a serious figure skater. She competes. She does double jumps. She's working on triples. She's got these bumps on the back of the heels, these pump bumps. You know, Taylor, it's in my world of figure skating, where I've been working with skaters for like four decades, one of the most common problems we see is a thickening, a development of the bumps in the back of the heels, usually aggravated by excessive motion in the boot, causing the buildup of tissue. Sometimes it's painful. So we want to do a couple things. Number one is have the bootmaker punch out the back of the boots, make a window protect around that area. If it's persistent, we've had great success with orthotics over the years as a major weapon to stop this aggressive motion. So if this is persistent, sometimes we'll pad the area with a horseshoe pad, we'll punch out the boot. But when it's a problem, you really want to see sports podiatry and you want to pay attention to the role of orthotics. We've had great success with that. Stan says, my 10-year-old son is play soccer. He's playing on the traveling team. He, speaking of the heel bone, he was diagnosed with this calcaneal apophysitis, which is a fancy term for an inflamed growth center. There's a large growth center on the back and bottom of the heel. It doesn't solidify into the heel bone in girls till about 13 or a little bit older, boys maybe 15 to 16. Any running, jumping activity can aggravate this growth center. And by the way, when we have a sport like soccer, when we have cleats right underneath that heel, that's an aggravator. So get your son out of those cleats. Get him into a multi-nub, multi-purpose soccer shoe, which will dissipate some of that pressure, and see podiatry. If this is a problem that's ongoing, orthotics are very, very helpful, almost 100% when done properly. When it's persistent, we've seen kids this age, sometimes a little older, where the parents would say, you know, it's been for two or three seasons. It comes and goes. We can't tell when it's a problem. So you really need to add some intelligent rest. You can't push through this if it's hurting. You might want to back off for a period of time. The good news, again, is the proper shoe selection. As a rule, soccer shoes are not very, very supportive. So get out of those heel cleats and then take a look, especially if the problem's persistent orthotics-wise. Fran says, my 14-year-old daughter plays traveling tennis. She's had persistent knee trouble probably the second or third year. She's been in physical therapy, what they call patella tendonitis. You know, Fran, I was mentioning with a couple of my guests today on the show, half the girls I've seen as a sports podiatrist, I don't care what the sport is, the knee problems. Check out your daughter's feet. Is she in the right shoes? Does she have proper support? As young girls go through puberty with a widening of the hips, the angle between the femur or the long bone of the leg and the knee, called the Q angle, is slightly increased in girls to boys. It's why we see so much more torque and twist action, especially with excessively pronated feet. And we've had great success when we add orthotics to the mix. Many times, problems like your daughter's, what I'm talking about is missed if her feet don't hurt. If her feet don't hurt, all the attention is at her knee with the knee tendonitis, where if we have, for example, hyperpronation or flat feet, which is common in girls, then we've got an increase in the torque, the internal rotation. Orthotics could be magic. So you might want to quickly pick up a pair of like super feet at the running shoe, walking shoe store and see podiatry or talk to the physical therapist, orthopedist, and ideally podiatry, sports podiatry, because orthotics could be magic for these kids when we're talking running, jumping, sports. If you want to read more about this, again, still available on, we just celebrated our fourth anniversary, the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, with my co-author, Hall of Fame volleyballer and coach, Sharky Zartman, where we have all sorts of information regarding problems like we were just mentioning with some of these kids with the emails, but different sections that are so important. The reason we wrote the book is there is an epidemic in capital letters of overuse injuries in youth sports, both physical and mental. The better the young boy or girl is, the more pressure is on them. The more many times we start running into concerns and challenges with overzealous parents and or coaches and overscheduling. The first section of the book is called Sports Parenting 101. And Sharky talks a lot about all aspects of levels of coaching, challenges of all sorts of different aspects and age groups. Second section is called the Sports Doctor's Inn, where we talk about things like orthotics, shoe selection. We talk, include the topic of concussions, et cetera. So hashtag Hey Sports Parents, bestseller on Amazon. I want to thank our guests again, Katie Blanchard, Dr. Robert Kornfeld, my friends at BBS Radio. Catch you next week, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Thank you.